Good morning. I'd like to thank Steve and the congregation for the opportunity to speak this morning. It's always a privilege to be in this pulpit. Appreciate that very much, and I appreciate your presence here this morning. The fact that you are here is indicative of your interest in things that are spiritual, and you are to be highly commended for that, and we appreciate it very much. Before we get into the lesson, I had one personal comment to make. As many of you know, I've last 3 months had some physical problems, and I wanted to thank the members of the congregation for the kind words, for the lovely cards, and most of all for the prayers that were offered on my behalf. All of those things are greatly appreciated. Our text this morning is Acts the 16th chapter, verses 11 through 15. And what Adam read for us earlier tells the story of the first recorded conversion that took place on the continent of Europe. I think that if we take a look at that, we can draw some valuable lessons for that. Jeff told me when I was standing at the back that I better be good because all my family was here. I appreciate their presence very much, and we'll try to do the best we can here. The background for this particular story about the lady from Thyatira, Paul and his companions are in the midst of what's commonly referred to as the second missionary journey. They have just crossed the Aegean Sea. Which button do I push? Or are you pushing the buttons? And they have now arrived in Europe. And they have made this trip as a result of a vision that Paul received asking him to come to Macedonia. That's the Macedonian call that the song that we were talking, or that we just sang, had in mind when they were doing this. So that's the background. Takes place probably between 51 and 54 AD, someplace in there. And Luke records it in about 62 AD, about 8 to 10 years after the events had occurred. At least that's the best chronology that those four more scholarly than I can figure out. So that's when it's happening. They have come into a region called Macedonia. Okay? And Macedonia is right here. Okay, and they are at a town called Philippi, which is right here. Okay, and the lady from Thyatira, Lydia, is from this town right here. This is what's referred to as Asia Minor. That's what we used to call it when I was in school back when they were still using carriages and oil lamps. But at any rate, it's modern day Turkey. And Thyatira, we know because it's one of the seven cities that are mentioned in the book of Revelation there that John is writing to. So that's where Lydia is from. That's where Paul and his companions are gonna be. This is the Aegean Sea. You can always remember it's Aegean because it's shaped in the space of a written G. And now you know more than you ever wanted to know about the Aegean Sea. But that's where it is. Okay? And Paul's traveling. And he's traveling because he's been instructed to travel across this. Now, sometimes I think we tend to not pay much attention to the little things when it says he crossed the Aegean Sea. Aegean Sea is one of the most vicious seas in the world. It's full of rocks, it's full of small islands. Some of the rocks are barely a couple of feet below sea level. And to transverse that, especially when you don't have radar or anything like that, is a dangerous journey. So when it says that Paul went from Asia Minor, from the province of Asia, in Roman province of Asia, and he went and crossed the Aegean Sea. That's a terrible journey in itself. That is a threatening journey in and of itself. So we need to keep that in mind, that when Paul talks about having problems and being mistreated and having to do these things, even the journeys that he's taking are extremely difficult and extremely hard to understand. So he has come into this city. This is the first time that this gospel is going to be preached. Now, what you also have to understand is that Philippi and that is in Europe. It's a continent of Europe. This over here is a continent of Asia. Okay, so he's going not just from city to city, from town to town. He's going from continent to continent over through that. So this is the first time that's recorded that the gospel is going to be preached there. If you've ever traveled in that area at all, it's amazing that you can sit on a ship and you can look, if you're facing north, you can look off to the east and you have the continent of Asia, and you can at the same time turn to your left and you've got the continent of Europe. So that's where Paul is, that's where he's traveled to, and that's where he's going to preach the sermon that Lydia is going to respond to. Well, why did he do that? Well, because he got a vision from God, and the vision is a man dressed apparently in Macedonia, the attire of Macedonia, says, come and help us. And he does. He travels to that region. We don't know why God told him to do that. It's not explained in the text, but we know that that's what he was instructed to do, and as always, that's what Paul did. There are five individuals who are directly related to this particular story, and we're going to talk just a little bit about each one of them. The first one, of course, is Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. He wrote approximately one half of the New Testament. He was a Roman citizen. He was highly intelligent. He was educated at the feet of Gamaliel, who was the leading Jewish scholar of the day, a very intelligent person. He was converted when God appeared to him on the road to Damascus, where he was going to arrest Christians for no other reason other than being Christians. He would suffer greatly as a result of his faith in God, and eventually would get him killed in the city of Rome. At least that's what most scholars say. Second fellow is a fellow by the name of Silas. He's a traveling companion of Paul. He was a member of the church at Jerusalem. He was with Paul and suffered the same beating and mistreatment that Paul did in Philippi through that. So he is one of the stalwarts in Paul's retinue. The next person that we talk about here is Timothy. And Timothy, at this time, at the time that this is going on, is a young man, probably 20 years of age. His mother and his grandmother were both converted, and so was Timothy. Timothy was probably the closest of all Paul's companions. And the last book he wrote, I believe it was written to Timothy. So he is with him on this journey. In addition to that, Luke is with him. Luke, the author of this book and the author of the book of Luke, is with him. We know that because he changed his pronouns. For those of you who didn't pay any more attention to English than I did, he goes from saying they to saying we, indicating his presence here with the group. So what we know about Luke was he was a highly educated man. He was a Gentile, the only Gentile that wrote any of the books of the New Testament, and he's with Paul on this particular journey. He's also a doctor, the beloved physician, I think, as he's referred to on that. So he's there. The last person who is in this particular story is Lydia. Lydia, the lady in the caption of our story, the lady from Thyatira. And Lydia is a most interesting individual. Lydia is a seller of purple. And depending on which one of the scholars you want to believe, She either sold goods that were dyed purple, or she sold the purple dye, probably the latter. And the purple dye was only for those who were rich and who were well-to-do. There were two particular sources of that. One of them was a little shellfish that produced that particular dye. You had to have a whole bunch of them to do it. And the other one was madder root. Now, she was from the city of Thyatira. Most of the purple that came out of that was supposedly from this vegetable dye, okay? And that's what she did. And she was wealthy. And she apparently was wealthy enough that she had her own household, and that she either had purchased or rented a house here in Philippi. But originally she was from Thyatira. Thyatira is interesting in that it was the center of the dyeing operation, if you will. There was a guild there. Archaeological digs have indicated and found evidence that there was a guild of those people who prepared the cloth, who dyed the cloth, who cut the cloth to shape and did all of those kinds of things. They were located in Thyatira, and that's where she was from. Why she is in Philippi? Well, if you look at the map, you see that Philippi basically lies very close to the Aegean Sea. It lay on one of the primary routes between the Aegean Sea, which is right here, in the Adriatic, which would be over to here, it was off the map. It was the Via Ignatia was the term that they used for that. And it was the route, the trade route, between the Adriatic and the Aegean Sea from the port cities on that side. Basically, it was built to allow the Roman legions to move quickly to any problems that they might have. The city of Philippi itself, where they were, was a Roman colony. And that was special in that day and age. A Roman colony had the right to rule itself. They weren't ruled by somebody from Rome. They didn't have to pay some of the taxes that other people did. And the people in the colony had the same rights as any citizen of Rome in Italy. So it was a very special kind of a deal to have that there. And Philippi was indeed that. And the trade route that ran between Philippi and the Adriatic Sea was this Via Ignatia. And that's that's probably why Lydia was there, was because it was a primary trade route and she could sell her goods there, whether it be the dye or the clothing that was prepared for that. The other city, of course, was Thyatira, and we've talked about that. One of the other things at Philippi was it was a place where they allowed the Roman soldiers to retire to. And that was in order to provide some stability, and it also allowed the Romans to defend the far reaches of their kingdom. So you've got this city sitting there. Okay, I mentioned earlier that we were going to see some things as to why, what lessons we could learn from Lydia. And there are three of them that come to mind. There are probably a whole lot more of that, but three of them I believe are important. One of them is, the first one is, it's not bad to have money. It's not evil to have money. Lydia was wealthy. She had her own household. She was in a wealth-producing business. She used her money for an appropriate purpose. If you look at the text that people tell you that money is evil, that's not true. What it says is the love of money is the root of all evil, okay? Now, for those of you who are grammarians, the love of money is a prepositional phrase, okay? That's about as far as my grammar goes, okay? But what that means is that they're talking about the love is the root of all evil, not money. So you can have money, you can earn money, as long as you use that money for the right purpose. And she did. She used that money to help support Paul and his companions. She provided them with housing. She undoubtedly provided them with food. So she used what she had earned for a good purpose. And that's a lesson we can all learn today. There's nothing wrong with us making a living. There's nothing wrong with us having some money. What we need to learn is that we need to use that money for an appropriate purpose. I think that's one of the lessons that Lydia can tell us. The second thing that I think she can tell us is that we have an obligation to act upon what we learn. Okay? I always like the book of Acts because it's not a book of words, it's a book of acts. Okay? Things that are done. Lydia acted. Lydia heard the gospel. She was a believer in God. It says that. He tells us that. But when she heard what Paul preached, she acted upon that. She didn't say, come back at another time. I'll deal with you when it's more convenient. She acted. And she acted because she realized that was what was going to be necessary to save her soul. It was true 2,000 years ago for Lydia and the other Christians in the first century. It's true for us today. When we hear the gospel, when we understand that Christ died for us, then we have an obligation to act upon that, not to sit back and wait and consider, but we have an obligation to act. And that's what Lydia did. She acted. We can learn that lesson from the lady from Thyatira. Excuse me. I'm sorry. The final thing that I think we can learn from is that she didn't quit being a Christian after she was baptized. I think sometimes we get people in the water and we baptize them, and they're baptized for all the right reasons, but then we quit. We stop, and we don't encourage them to go further. We don't encourage them to act in an appropriate manner. We think that we have done the job. That's not true. Every Christian should be baptized, has to be baptized, but every Christian has an obligation to continue being a Christian after they're baptized. How do we know she did that? Because she almost demanded that Paul and his companions come to her house. If you've considered me to be a good Christian, then come and let me take care of you. And she did. Therefore, freeing them from having to earn money, freeing them from having to find other lodging, allowing them to continue to preach the gospel. She used her money appropriately, and she continued to act as a Christian should act. Like we said earlier, if it was true 2,000 years ago for the Christians in the first century, it's true for us today. I think those are the lessons that we can learn from this lady. I think you have an opportunity this morning to act. If you have heard the gospel, then I think you need to act on that. You understand what baptism means, how it's for the removal of sins. You have the obligation to act on that. Don't sit back and wait. Lydia is a good example. I like her. She worked hard, apparently, and she had so much influence that not only was she baptized, but her whole household was kind of Christian we need to be. And after she was baptized, and she continued to do the work a Christian should do. You've not done that, then you have an opportunity this morning to do that. If you have done that and in some manner have fallen away, have an obligation, we can try and help you with that as well. If there's anything that we can do that the good book allows, please come. All together we stand and sing our song.
I am resolved.